Still in this quarter's theme of the impact of unsung heroes in the Bible, we welcome our preacher, Mr. Bala Usman, to share the word on the topic, Naaman's Slave, a Nameless Evangel.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let me powerfully hand over her phone. Amen. It's a wonderful pleasure to be back home in Lagos, where everything is excellent, as it is being said. This morning, we are talking about a young girl, a nameless evangelist. Everybody who does something wants to be popular about what he does. Especially where things are excellent, when you do certain things, you would like to be recognized. We thank God for the opportunity in this text. God creates opportunities for us sometimes through unpleasant experiences. And a lot of times, God's mysterious ways are just too wonderful to be fathomed by the limitedness of our brain. In this text, there are quite a number of interesting characters. Naaman himself, the young slave girl. We also have the two kings and the prophet, Elisha. All of them are very wonderful and interesting characters. But the strength of this sermon was on the girl. But to see the beauty of the girl's lifestyle, approach to ministry, and the strategy she deployed, we need to see the men. Naaman is a great warrior. He's like the chief, what do we call them in Nigeria? CDS, right? The Oga of all the army, chief of defense staff. He had reached the height of his career. He's very, very successful in human analysis. But he had a problem. And the problem is that he's leprous. A situation in Israel that the man is supposed to be outside the city, kept aside if he were in Israel. But because of his gifts, his talent, his charisma, his bravery, he becomes central in the administration in Aram. The two kings, one used the veto power as a conqueror to instruct the defeated that he must heal his staff. What a problem. Because he has conquered them, he feels that whatever command he gives, they must just comply. I know there are some very powerful, authoritative people like that king within us. My command, just obey. No. He didn't give the man excuse. He didn't give him an opportunity. He said, as this letter comes, do one thing, heal that man, Naaman. And the other man just went bizarre. How can you look for my trouble in the morning? Huh? He knows how incapable he is. It's not his jurisdiction to heal. And I acknowledge that sometimes we need to know that there are things we can't do. There are things we can't do. There are things that are outside our limit. Healing is not in the hands of the king. That is not part of his job description. So, we are here. Nigeria as a nation needs healing, right? But who do you think will heal it? Which of them is best? The government, our rulers, or even us, the obedient nationals? There is a need in this text. The king of Aram wants to have a complete gentleman as his chief warrior. So he's already expecting. He never said it. But you know, how do you go as a king after introducing all your men, then your chief of defense staff is a leper? He cannot be associated with. So there is a need to boost the ego of this man. But they are wondering, how do we do it? Here comes the miracle girl. I find in this text a very interesting young girl who, I was just wondering how the scripture just gave us only the story of the girl. She cannot be the only one that has been caught. In the whole raid of an army, she couldn't have been the only person that was taken captive. But the scripture zeroed onto her. And I find a young girl who is calm in life. She's very calm. Despite being in such a massive situation, despite being in such a trauma, she managed herself out of her trauma. She forgot and accepted that she's already in a situation that she cannot escape. She cannot run. And she calmed her life. Some of us, when we are in situations that are very terrible, we exaggerate the situation. But this young girl was calm. She relaxed her mind. Her attitude, her character, her mannerisms were excellent. There was no complaint about her. The text said she served. She served Naaman's wife, a nameless wife. What is the name of Naaman's wife? She's nameless. A nameless evangelist serving a nameless woman. But her services were well documented. One line, she served Naaman's wife. What is the implication of that statement? She did everything to put others first. That is what it takes to serve. When you are invited to serve, you are a selfless person, serving others and making them happy at the cost of your own happiness. She did it diligently. She was dedicated. She did all she did with an act of kindness and compassion. It's not written on the pages. But if the report of your house girl is that she served me well, it means that everything she did made you happy. Is that correct? I ask you a question. At the place of your work, are you serving well? In your home, are you serving well? At school, are you studious enough? This girl has a testimony that she served well. She did excellently. Her attitudes were impeccable. There's no report that she was grudging If you send me to my father's house, I'll be more happy. That report is not there. She enjoyed her services. If every one of us here and in the church in Nigeria is serving well where we are, we will have solved Nigeria's problem. True or false? How would you manage yourself where you are working? The girl was very calculative. She did all she did, but she also knows her roots. She spoke to the person she is serving. She didn't speak to the man. She said to her, if only. You know, I like that statement because it's a mathematical term. Only if and only if. How many of you remember that mathematical term? So she gave an only solution. If only my master. That is another way that girl served. She recognized who her leaders are. The scripture said she spoke to her mistress that if my master. So she knew that the husband and the wife are her leaders. And she identified them as such and she gave that respect to them. Are you respectful where you are? Do you acknowledge the role of leaders who are leading you, whether it's comfortable or not? In a country where everybody wants to be free and powerful, there will be conflict of roles or role conflicts. But she identified her job and she did what she's supposed to do. The next thing she did was a good suggestion. If you are at work and you are in missions, I hope you know that your office is your mission center. This is missions week. Every office where you are is your mission field. You must become a representative of God and introduce others to your God so that they can act the way you will act and behave the way you will behave so that your God will be glorified. You do not need to wait until you have been sent as a missionary. Your office is a mission field. Your house as a housewife, you are in a mission field. Your husband as a husband, you are a missionary to your wife and to your children. So everybody is a missionary somewhere. The young girl became an international evangelist. Giving a suggestion that has to do with national reconciliation. Naaman is from Aram, right? A different nation. The king of Israel, a different nation. They are two warring kings. But her advice brought reconciliation. Because God acted in the midst of it. If there are two people fighting where you are working, are you on the side of one or you are against the other? Where do you belong? You must be a powerful person that reconciles the two warring factors. The girl was such a wonderful person. She sent a message, and the man was looking for answer everywhere. But it was that girl that could have been disrespected. The slave girl, the unimportant person. I ask you a question because God has given all of you success at the way you are. You have somebody working for you, whether a security man, whether it's house help, or somebody who comes and goes, or she stays with you, or he stays with you. How do you treat them? If the nameless housewife was not very good to the girl, I'm sure they wouldn't have reasons to sit down and talk. How do you treat those who are working under you? Are you cordial to them? Do you receive them as yours? Do you treat them as people you can have time to relate with? If there was no good relationship, there will have been no good discussion. So I invite you to reconsider how you handle those who work under you so that you can get the best of them when they know it best. The young girl said, if my husband will do this, if my master will do this, solution gotten. What is your testimony about those who work under you? The young girl suggestion. The man is great. I love Naaman. Immediately, he didn't discountenance the girl's advice. He went for it. I know when small people are talking to you, you will have to reason and calculate and rethink and redirect before you can take it. Naaman was swift at taking suggestion. He is humble himself to have listened to the girl. It's wonderful. But he went through protocol. And I love that. He went and reported to his king. And the king immediately also got interested. If you are good at work, your problem will be the problem of your boss. True or false? If you are good at work, your boss will be interested in what you are and what concerns you. I beg Nigerians, be at best at your work so that when your own problem comes, they will be interested about it. Immediately, he wrote a letter. Canal approaches, but very good. The man wrote a letter, heal my staff. It's not by power. It's not by might, but by my spirit, says the this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed in Jesus' name. This mountain shall be removed by my spirit. The king didn't know that one. It's by letter, by instruction. And when the king of Israel received it, he also felt, oh my God. They removed the power that heals out of their discussion. A king also tore his robes. But you know, news go fast. Where Elisha was and where the king was, I'm not too sure it's close. But news went to him. We need Elishas in our country. We need Elishas in our offices. We need Elishas in our families. Those who understand that it is by the power of God. And he says, send him to me. Hallelujah. This country is in need of solution everywhere. By the Spirit of God under you, do you still have suggestion for Nigeria? Your clan, your family has challenges. Do you still have the Spirit of God to proffer solution? Elisha sent for the man. I want to show you an interesting calculation. You know, the man took about 10 talents of silver and he took 600 shekels of gold to go whether they will charge him for his health. Thank God for doctors and nurses and all professionals. The 10 talent of silver, depending on the category of silver that he took, ranged between 272,280 dollars to 14,000, 14 million $184. That was the quantity of talent he took to go for this healing trip. They call it medical excursion. Is it medical excursion? So he took that amount of money. Just imagine $14,184,000. And then the shekels of gold he took was equivalent of $600,000. If you put them together, it is $14,784,000 for healing. Health is expensive. Health is expensive. But because the man of God was sent by God, he didn't charge him anything. Neither did he go to see him. The man came out and said, "The chief of defense staff of Aram is here. The king sent me." He said, "I'm the one who told the king to send you, if you don't know. You went to the wrong place for medication. This is the right center, and where you come, it is free because it comes from heaven. The solution for Nigeria, if you will give it because we need it now so that all of us can enjoy a little bit. Amen." Who is the source of all this blessing? A small, young girl who in our eyes is called a slave. Those of you who think you are less important, you are the most important answers to Nigeria's situation. It is because you don't have value for yourself and the people who are around you don't have value for you. That's why these solutions are not coming. Some fantastic ideas that will have solved our problems in this nation are within people who are not recognized. Those who really give solutions, they are not remembered. And those who speak big English without answers, they are the ones that are being listened to. May God help Nigeria in Jesus' name. This young girl became an international minister. The Koreans have developed a mission strategy, and that's where I'm ending. When there are some closed doors in the part of the world, the Arabian world, the Europe and some of these big places where they don't allow the gospel to go freely. Some of these nations have trained their people and developed people who have character and sent them as slave girls in some houses. The strategy of this young girl is a very important mission strategy that we should develop. Young men and women of character. It is a very big challenge in Nigeria today that if you have a company and you are not around, your company is run down. True or false? Why? Because we have people who have no character. You can't travel and leave your company. You will have your company swept off before you return. And they will tell you something happened. Nigeria is in need of young people who are passionate, who have character, who have attitude, who need to be answers to mighty solutions in big families so that this nation can continue. Would you be that answer in Lagos? Would you be that answer in Africa? The young girl gave a solution. And at the end of the day, the name of the Lord is glorified in Aram by a very important personality, and I think I am certain that madman influenced many more people after that trip. Would your suggestion count? Where you think you are not important, When you pray through and remember the name of the Lord and introduce people to God, solutions will come to that office. Solutions will come to that family. I invite you. It was a strategic strategy she gave in penetrating homes that would have never had the name of the Lord. She didn't force it on them. She didn't say to them, "Our God is powerful. Your God is an idol. I will show you." She didn't go that way. No condemnation, no compromise, no revenge, but she thought excellently. When somebody vexes you small, you want to revenge seven times. That is not the strategy of that girl. She is a forgiver. She is a lover. And that is the kind of people we need in the society. That's the kind of homes we need so that there can be progress where we are. The young, unnamed evangelist. Whatever you are going to do that will glorify God, you don't need to be identified as the only person who does it. If you do good, your good will speak to you at the right time. If you do good, your good will speak in nations. The nations are waiting. Kingdoms are waiting. Examples are waiting. I didn't know what I did. One young boy came to farm, and he was very good in my farm. And the two seniors wanted to discourage him. He said, "Oh, God brought us here to farm." I didn't know. The two went back to the village. Say, "Are you in school?" He said, "No." I said, "I'll put you in school." I went to the village, talked to the father, said, "Give me this boy." Right now, he is in the secondary school we have. It was later I realized that the father doesn't do anything. It was the mother who used to walk to bring food to the house. She was traveling somewhere, and then a machine hit her, and she died. Say, there is nobody who can help this boy. What are you doing to these nameless children who need help here and there? What are you doing in your office to make it great? The office of the girl was to serve the woman, and she gave a lasting solution that is worth more than $14 million. The advice of the young girl in your house, do you take it serious? Would you start becoming a missionary in your office where you are? We don't need to pay you salary. But changing a life and introducing people to the Lord is the biggest salary you can give. When somebody's life is changed because of your services, you have changed a nation. You have influenced a country. You have influenced a people. I invite you to a new pattern of work. Diligence. Sincerity. Honesty. So that you can earn respect and your services will be remembered. That girl is nameless. But she's a powerful example to many of us. I want to be a nameless evangelist after now. Would you want to join me? Some of you saw that I stood and shook the last person. She's my boss. I also work with Agape Missions as the International Deputy Director of Planning and Administration. So, you know, when you see your boss, you better stand up. That's why I did. Do something that will change the face of God's glory and honor wherever you are. Be a nameless, great, passionate, and blessed evangelist. Let us pray. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. If the Lord needs somebody, here am I. God needs you to review your attitude at work. God needs you to review your discipline, and engagement. You may be making it for profit, but there's a bigger profit if you make it that someone will come to know the Lord. Be a deliberate evangelist without being antagonistic. Be a blessed servant of the Lord without criticizing and comparing notes. God is looking for you in a new dimension. God is able to heal. God is able to bring back His honor and glory. I'd like to invite my uncle, Uncle Ocholi, to come and pray.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that has gone out. Thank you for, Lord, prompting the PSC and the leadership during this quarter to remind us of the nameless heroes of faith. Thank you for this particular message, Lord, that has gone out. Reminding us that wherever you have put us for a purpose. Lord, grant each of us a consciousness of who and whose we are. Grant us a reminder or to remember that you have a purpose for us as we go through this week. As you bring us into relationships and situations that are not necessarily the most comfortable. Father, help us to be your evangelists in whatever circumstances you place us. Lord, we worship you, we adore you, and we exalt you in Jesus' name.